7. The Shores of Abadal.
Quintessals do have their limits. If they consume too much magic, they can die from excessive ingestion. Luckily, the creature's gray skin turns colors when they are full. Death can be abated by expelling the magic, but they can still perish from overexertion.
From Kolvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 15. A frigid breeze washed across the Jibaran. Wrapped in two thick blankets, Amandal sat against the ship's foremast, clutching a lightstone in one hand and the transcribed passages of his family's tomes in the other. His eyes, however, were not on the parchments. Felinia stood at the portside rail, gazing at the stars. A veil of flame surrounded her, shielding her from the cold. Amandal had found her there at the rail each night these past 2 weeks. Although she gave him brief glances, she did not speak to him unless he spoke first. That suited Amandal just fine, for now. After staring at Felinia for a time, Amandal returned his gaze to the transcribed passages. He had read through everything twice and was currently committing incantations to memory from greater conjurations from the Aldenal Plain. Amandal mouthed the words to the incantation but did not focus his mind on summoning the conjuration. In order to summon a creature or object from the Aldenal Plain, a conjurer needed to utter the incantation while also conjuring an image of the creature or object in their mind. From what Amandal understood, the process was similar to manifesting other forms of magic. Magic did not manifest unless both tongue and mind worked together. The fiery glow lessened around Felinia, drawing Amandal's attention. Felinia turned from the rail, hurrying across the main deck. "I have an extra blanket," Amandal called to her. Felinia turned briefly, studying Amandal for a moment. Her eyes lingered longer than usual.
"No, thank you," she said, then hurried below deck.
"Well, that's different," Amandal thought, smiling. Now alone, besides the crew manning the rigging, Amandal returned to his studies. The clouds soon rolled across the sky above the Jibaran, dropping flakes of snow. "Snow?" Amandal muttered, watching the flakes land on the deck. One landed upon his nose, but soon melted. "We must be getting close to that godforsaken wasteland." More snowflakes fell, but melted soon after landing on the ship. "Better get below deck," he thought, pushing away from the foremast. The following morning, Amandal awoke to Ildin shaking him.
"They've spotted land," Ildin said cheerily, his breath visible.
"Finally," Amandal shot upright and looked around the barracks. Others were milling among the various bunks, waking those that were sleeping.
"Let's go topside," Ildin said, and darted away.
Amandal wrapped his blanket around himself and followed Ildin out of the barracks. The main deck was crowded. Amandal and Ildin pushed their way toward the raised forecastle, but didn't make it past the ship's third mast. Ildin stood on his toes, but sighed at his futile attempt to catch a glimpse of the distant shoreline.
"You do realize we can get a better view, don't you?" Amandal asked.
Ildin turned with a quizzical expression on his face, then his eyes widened with enlightenment. The two of them uttered their own incantations. White light gathered around Ildin's hands while a golden hue formed above Amandal. Amandal focused on conjuring his gosset, and the bird soon flew from the golden portal. A biting chill stung the conjuration, but Amandal pushed through the pain and circled the bird toward the rigging. He guided the conjuration to the foremast, just as a white silhouette of a man appeared on the mast's highest yardarm. The image of Ildin coalesced just as Amandal perched his conjuration.
"Good idea, Amandal," Ildin said, the words coming from both his mouth and his illusion.
Amandal nodded and closed his eyes, focusing his vision through the gosset. A streak of white spread across the horizon as far as he could see, undoubtedly the snow-covered coastline of the Aberdeen wasteland. Spires of white rose from the water around the distant shore. There were dozens of those spires scattered throughout the water. Both the spires and the shore were dotted with glinting specks.
"I think those are chunks of floating ice," Ilden said, his illusion pointing to the spires. "Icebergs, they're called. I've heard they are much larger than they look."
Both illusion and conjuration sat atop the rigging for a while, silently admiring the beauty of the exotic shoreline. Vaim leaned over her map of Abadal. The detailed cartography showed the actual coastline of the continent as well as the ice shelves that spread far into the ocean. Earlier that morning, a sailor had notified her that the icy continent had been spotted, but Vaim found it too cold to step outside for a glimpse of what was undoubtedly a streak of white between two shades of blue. Why leave the comfort of her cabin for something so lackluster? A heavy knock rattled her cabin's door, and Vaim turned from the map.
"Vaim, are you in there?"
asked the muffled voice of Kaidal Varane through the door. She was a lieutenant under General Vidar's command. Vidar had dispatched her as the Jaiberan prepared to set sail, undoubtedly to ensure that everything about the expedition was reported to him.
"Yes," Vaim replied, opening the door.
Kaidal, wrapped in several blankets, hurried into Vaim's cabin. She stood slightly shorter than Vaim, and her brown hair was braided and tucked beneath her blankets.
"It's frigid out there," Kaidal shivered as she shut the door.
"Exactly why I didn't care to leave my cabin," Vaim said, and returned to her map.
Kaidal snorted and moved to Vaim's side.
"I told Captain Idara to sail eastward. They will note each significant landmark we pass."
"Good," Vaim nodded.
The lieutenant leaned past Vaim, tracing her finger along the depicted coastline.
"I would guess Chrysian Bay is perhaps a day or so away."
She tapped on a divot in the coastline, almost entirely enclosed by ice shelves. From the cartography, the bay looked more like a river.
"We should hold a council tonight," Vaim thought.
She turned to Kaidal, who was tracing her finger from the bay toward a lone mountain.
"Why don't you inform Kalamir that I want to hold a meeting with the squad leaders?"
"As you wish,"
Kaidal said and spun to the door. A chilled draft washed past Vaim as she continued staring at the map.
"Soon I will fulfill your mandate, my emperor."
The Jaiberan traveled eastward for most of the day, sailing alongside the towering spires of ice. The crowd on the main deck lessened as the day drew on. Amandal had since dismissed his conjured gusset, but Ilden kept his illusion atop the rigging. It had startled some of the crew as they adjusted the sails, nearly causing one of the men to fall. Luckily, another sailor caught him. After dinner, Amandal sat in the galley watching his friends play a game of Sharzen. From where he sat, Amandal could tell Morjadayan had a winning hand. Both Ilden and Silas had horrible cards, and Amandal couldn't tell which was worse. The round ended, and Morjadayan triumphantly threw his hands into the air. Ilden sighed and leaned back in his chair, looking at Amandal.
"Are you sure you don't want to play?"
Amandal shook his head.
"I think I might go topside soon."
Ilden raised an eyebrow.
I don't think your tactic is working," the illusionist said, glancing over his shoulder.
He was probably checking to see if Felinia was nearby.
"Of course it is," Amandal replied, rising from his seat. "I'll see you later."
As he neared the doorway leading to the stairs, one of Kalamir's officers hurried into the galley, almost colliding with him. The officer apologized and hurried around Amandal. As Amandal reached the stairs, the officer addressed those in the galley.
Commander Calamir is calling a council. Every squad leader is to report to the war room as soon as possible.
Intrigued, Amandal stopped short of the stairs. A council? Since setting sail from Soroth, there hadn't been one meeting concerning the expedition, nor a single utterance of the name Tardalim. The officer hurried back through the door, nearly bumping into Amandal again.
Pardon me again, the officer said, darting to the stairs.
Excuse me, Amandal called after him, but what's this council about?
The topic concerns squad leaders only, the officer said, then descended the stairs.
Squad leaders only? Amandal was intrigued. He looked to the ceiling, thinking about Felinia. I could let one night slide, he thought, turning back to the galley. He eyed Ilden, who was collecting a set of cards dealt out by Jacob.
Ilden!
Amandal shouted, beckoning to Ilden, who reluctantly left the table.
What?
He asked as he reached Amandal. Do you want to eavesdrop on that meeting? Amandal whispered, a wry, anticipating smile curving his lips.
I thought you were going to gawk at Felinia.
Amandal's expression turned sullen. It's not gawking. Now, do you want to join me or not? Ilden glanced back to the table and shrugged. I might as well. It isn't like I was winning anyway.
Good. Follow me.
They descended past the barracks and arrived at the bottommost deck. Amandal led Ilden through several corridors, passing through the crew's quarters. Several sailors were snoring loudly.
Amandal, Ilden muttered, the council is in the war room.
Yes, I know that, Amandal replied. Just stay close. They left the crew's quarters and strode down a corridor leading to the cargo hold, where crates and barrels full of supplies were packed tightly with narrow aisles separating the columns of supplies. Amandal scanned each of the aisles, finding no one else in the cargo hold.
Perfect.
Grinning, he made his way down the nearest aisle.
So what now?
Ilden asked, still standing in the doorway.
Just get over here, Amandal said, grabbing one of the barrels.
He tried tipping it at an angle, but the barrel was too heavy.
Not that one, he muttered, moving to another barrel. Why are you trying to move stuff if we're just going to cast our invisibility? Ilden asked.
That's what you want to do, right? Sneak inside the war room and listen?
It'll be too crowded,
Amandal said with a grunt as he shifted one of the barrels, creating a small niche between the supplies.
Come help me make some room so we can sit.
Ilden complied, and they soon hollowed out a niche wide enough for both of them to sit cross-legged.
So what's your plan?
Ilden asked as he sat down on the decking.
I'll conjure something and you'll make an illusion of it.
Ilden raised an eyebrow and frowned, unconvinced.
Just trust me, Amandal said. I read about this tactic in one of my family's tomes.
Ilden chuckled.
I'm surprised. You actually managed to get some reading done amid your gawking.
Amandal rolled his eyes. Now plug your ears. I don't want you hearing this incantation. Ilden shook his head but placed his hands over his ears. The conjuration Amandal planned to use was from Greater Conjurations from the Aldenal Plane. Of all the knowledge kept within his family's tomes, the incantations were the most sacred. Golden light coalesced between Amandal's hands and the magic wisped together, forming a portal about the size of a child's fist. A winged outline appeared in the golden light, then a majestic insect-like creature, made completely of ice, emerged from the portal. The six-winged conjuration fluttered through the air, landing on the decking between Amandal and Ilden. Jagged patterns of pale blues and whites adorned the crystal-like wings, complemented by the tiny shards arrayed around the creature's legs. An oblong abdomen shared the same jagged patterns with the wings and was tipped with a glistening stinger.
Whoa! Ilden blurted, hands still covering his ears. What is that?
According to the sacred texts, they are called Seracius Lepidors.
I'm trying to come up with a better name, though. Siracius Lepidor just seems too long.
How about Ice Flyer? Ilden suggested.
Ice Flyer? Amandel asked incredulously. That's just as bad as Mage's Parasite.
What's wrong with Mage's Parasite? Ilden asked. It's an accurate name.
Amandel stared at his friend in disbelief, blinking several times.
I can't believe you just said that.
Ilden laughed and leaned close to the tiny ice conjuration, studying it. After a moment, he straightened and uttered an illusory incantation. White light wrapped around the Siracius Lepidor. The conjuration glowed for a moment, but the luminescent hue faded as the illusory magic left the icy creature. The white magic clustered together, forming an outline resembling the conjuration. Soon, an exact copy of the icy creature stood on the decking in front of Ilden.
"So do you plan to sit here while we eavesdrop?" Ilden asked.
"Yes," Amandel replied, commanding his conjuration to fly. "If we return to our bunks, we'll look suspicious." Ilden frowned, but lifted his illusion from the ground. It fluttered, joining the real Siracius Lepidor in the air.
"Ready?" Amandel asked, and Ilden nodded.
Both illusion and conjuration zipped through the cargo hold. They flew through the ship, swiftly ascending to the main deck. In contrast to the sensation Amandel felt through his gosset, the icy insect was rather warm. Its vision was different, too. It was blurry, somewhat like looking through foggy glass. Amandel had conjured several insects throughout his life, and each time their vision was poor. Their hearing, however, was extremely keen, and the Siracius Lepidor's hearing was no less extraordinary. Through his conjuration, Amandel could hear Ilden's illusion moving through the air, not the fluttering of its illusory wings, but the sound of magic and air rubbing against each other. It was the oddest sound. Normally, illusions were silent when they moved, unless sound was added to their movements. But Ilden had not added that component to his illusion. As the illusion and conjuration ascended to the open-air bridge, a cacophony of noises assaulted Amandel's mind. Wind, rustling sails, footsteps, waves, conversations. It was nearly overwhelming. Amandel struggled to focus on that strange sound caused by Ilden's illusion. It was somewhere ahead of him, flying above figures covered in dark brown. Those were probably the squad leaders in their thick coats. They were moving toward an opening that led to the ship's upper aft sections. The strange sound shifted, as if contained.
His illusion must be inside, Amandel thought, zipping his conjuration through what he assumed was the corridor leading to the war room.
The conjuration flew above more dark brown figures, and Amandel guided his icy insect through the door. Inside, he heard several familiar voices, one of which belonged to Vaim. She was talking to a woman unfamiliar to Amandel. Amandel hadn't seen much of Vaim these last 2 weeks. He'd run into her twice, and both times he confronted her about the rumors concerning them. Vaim simply shrugged them off as fact, then attempted to lure him back to her cabin. During the first encounter, she had touched Amandel, and he felt the same irresistible yearning for her he had experienced back at the Aramian estate. Luckily, Ilden was with him, and the illusionist cast a dispel that nullified the strange euphoria. At their second encounter, Amandel kept his distance.
"Do not come across it. We can resort to an aerial search," she said.
Amandel turned his conjuration's head toward Bayam's voice, but struggled to find her.
"We should near the bay's entrance soon," the unknown woman added. "Captain Idara told me they spotted a chain of islands to the northeast."
"Good," Bayam said. "According to my map, those islands are 200 finials west of the channel leading to the bay."
Amandel fluttered his conjuration to the ceiling, gripping the grain in the beams with the icy insect's frozen claws.
"Can you see anything, Ilden?" Amandel asked.
"Of course. Can't you?"
"Not really," Do you see a map?
Yes, Ilden said. It's on the table in the center of the room.
There's a table? Everything was so blurry, and he could barely see the individual squad leaders in the room.
Close the doors, Brainar,
Kalamir's voice echoed through the war room.
That was loud, Amandal muttered.
Are the ears on that conjuration that sensitive? Ilden asked. Sure, he was a tad loud, but
quiet, Amandal interrupted Ilden.
Kalamir was saying something else.
Good authority that we will reach our place of mooring within a day, the retired commander said. Mistress Riddall has asked that we hold this council to discuss the particulars of our journey across the wastes.
As Kalamir continued his opening remarks, Amandal saw a figure moving from the far side of the room. The person was tall, with dark hair. Vayam?
Perhaps this conjuration wasn't the right choice, he lamented.
We will moor in Chrysian Bay,
Vayam's voice trailed from the tall figure.
So it is her.
Ice shelves cover much of the bay, but there is a narrow channel we can traverse,
Vayam added.
The Jaibaran will moor at a dock at the far end of the channel, where it will wait for our return.
There's a dock? A man asked. But no one lives in the Abadine wasteland. Why would there be a dock in this Chrysian Bay?
More questions filled the war room. Some wondered how Vayam had obtained her information, others asked about her map, and several asked why there was a dock.
Hold your questions, Kalamir said. I'm sure Mistress Riddall will answer each of them.
Vayam began answering the questions, starting with the nature of Chrysian Bay.
Well, this is interesting, Ilden said, sounding amused.
Aren't you glad I pulled you away from those cards? Amandal asked, but quickly returned his focus to Vayam's explanations.
Built thousands of years ago, when the icy continent was still inhabited, Vayam said.
Her answer was welcomed by snickering and laughter, but the scornful reactions were hushed by Kalamir.
Yes, there were ancient inhabitants called the Ishari. Chrysian Bay was once home to one of their ports. From there we will make our trek across the wastes.
She tapped on what Amandal assumed was the map, and the noise resounded throughout the war room.
Damned things are sensitive, Amandal lamented again.
Vayam continued answering each of the questions about the bay and the dock. Several of the squad leaders wondered how the dock could still be intact if it had been constructed thousands of years ago. Vayam's counter to their skepticism was not what Amandal expected.
The dock, and most of the abandoned Ishari structures we'll encounter, were turned to crystal ages ago by a chrysalac.
A chrysalac? Someone asked. But those are only a myth.
Whoa, Ilden muttered. Did you hear that?
No, I was sleeping,
Amandal said sarcastically.
Of course I heard it.
Chrysalacs were a myth. No one had ever seen a chrysalac, at least not during Kaldal's current era. Though their descriptions varied, the mythical chrysalacs had one thing in common. They could turn whatever they touched into crystal. A debate arose as some squad leaders heckled Vayam's claims. Another person, the one Vayam had spoken to before the meeting, defended the Mindalarnian's explanation. Kalamir settled the outburst, and Vayam continued speaking about the nature of an Ishari city near Chrysian Bay. It, too, had been turned to crystal.
So she claims chrysalacs are real, Amandal mused aloud. Now, if I can catch one of those, this trip will be worthwhile.
Didn't you tell me there were no creatures in the wastes that interested you? Ilden asked.
That was before I knew about the chrysalac, Amandal said.
Vayam moved on to describing the trek across the wasteland. She spoke as if she had been there.
Odd, Amandal thought, but then he recalled the nightmare during his first night back in Sorath. The image of that enormous mountain flashed in Amandal's mind,
and he saw himself on the edge of the abysmal precipice surrounding the towering peak. Amandal shook the image from his mind and focused on Vayam's voice. The Mandalorian scholar went into detail about the various terrains they would have to cross and the possible dangers of the Abadine wasteland. Amandal listened casually until she described the area near Tardalim.
Once we are a few days away, we will find ourselves on an icy plain. The plain will undoubtedly contain snowdrifts that we will have to traverse, but they should be packed solid.
Snowdrifts? Amandal wondered, and that snowy plain of his nightmare returned to the forefront of his mind.
We'll know we are close when we can see the lone peak of the mountain housing Tardalim. It will rise above the southern horizon 3 or 4 days before we'll reach the massive canyon at its foothills.
No, Amandal started, shaking his head. That can't be right. Vayam continued describing the terrain around the reliquary. Her descriptions were exactly what Amandal had seen in his nightmare.
Are you okay, Amandal? Ildin asked. You look pale.
Amandal held up a finger to his friend as Vayam was still explaining about the chasm.
The actual entrance to the reliquary will be below the northern edge of the vast precipice, so we will need to descend into a network of caves in order to access the bridge that spans the icy canyon.
Can't we just go around this canyon? A squad leader asked.
No. It would take weeks to travel around the canyon. Besides, even if we were on the other side, we wouldn't be able to reach the reliquary's entrance. I'm afraid the bridge is our only option.
Vayam began talking about the entrance to Tardalim, but Amandal didn't pay attention.
Exactly like that nightmare.
Was that a vision of the future?
It couldn't be. No one can see the future. It must.
Ildin's touch jarred Amandal from his confusion.
Are you all right? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
A ghost of the future, perhaps.
The illusionist narrowed his eyes.
You're not making any sense.
Of course he wasn't making any sense. None of this expedition made any sense. A sick feeling formed in the pit of Amandal's stomach, and he suddenly felt afraid. Sleep did not lessen the fear that knotted Amandal's stomach. Nightmares consumed his slumber, but they fled after he awoke. He spent the entire morning below decks with Ildin, but he couldn't shake those foreboding feelings. Prior to Amandal's waking, Ildin had made another illusion of himself and set it atop the foremost's highest yardarm. He was eager to spot the towering ice shelves that housed the entrance to Crisian Bay. As they ate their midday meal, Ildin suddenly leapt from his chair.
They've spotted the channel! Amandal, you have to see it! It's magnificent!
The illusionist's declaration roused most of the men and women in the galley. Some darted toward the doorway leading to the stairs, eager for a look at the next leg of their voyage.
Come on, Amandal,
Ildin said, hurrying after them. Amandal reluctantly rose. He did his best to push aside those frightful feelings, but they persisted at the back of his mind. Amandal walked slowly across the galley, joining the others moving toward the main deck. Ildin waited at the portside rail for Amandal, gesturing for him to hurry. The main deck was crowded by the time Amandal was topside, but not as crowded as it had been when land was first spotted. Ildin grabbed Amandal's arm and guided him toward the raised forecastle.
Are you going to conjure something?
No,
Amandal replied, staring at the towering sheets of ice south of the ship, beyond the starboard rail. The edge of the ice shelf rose far beyond the Jibaran's tallest mast.
Incredible.
Oh, yes,
Ildin said, pulling at Amandal's arm.
Judging by the position of my illusion, the top of that shelf is probably 3 or 4 times higher than the ship.
Amandal and Ildin pushed through the crowd and climbed the stairs leading to the raised bow. The forecastle was crowded, but Ildin pushed his way forward. Amandal, however, remained by the rigging, grabbing a line and leaning over the starboard rail. Less than a grand finial ahead of the Jibaran, an enormous archway of brilliant pale blue ice marked the entrance of Chrysian Bay. He estimated that the archway was over 100 finials wide and more than twice that in height. It was more than wide enough for the ship to sail through. The archway connected to another ice shelf just as tall as the one beyond the starboard rail. Gasps of amazement echoed around Amandal as the ship neared the arch. The Jibaran made a wide turn to port but swung back to face the arch head-on. Awestruck remarks filled the air as the ship sailed through the archway and into a tunnel of glistening ice. The icy ceiling filtered the sunlight with a dark blue tint, while tiny shards in the walls sparkled with turquoise light.
"How beautiful!"
Amandal started, then turned to see Felinia standing beside him. She stared at the tunnel's icy ceiling, her sea-gray eyes sparkling.
"Those shards almost look like stars."
"They do," Amandal agreed, settling back onto the forecastle. "Would you like a better view?" Narrowing her eyes in what looked to be a playful expression, Felinia nodded. She moved past him, grabbing the line and leaning over the rail. "Not too far now," Amandal said in a flirtatious tone. He wrapped his arm around Felinia's waist while grabbing the rail.
"What do you think you're doing?" she asked, sounding coy.
She didn't turn, but kept her eyes on the icy tunnel. "Making sure you don't fall in. The water is freezing, after all." Felinia gave him a sidelong glance, her lips forming a slight smile.
"At least it's not a scowl."
After a moment, Felinia returned her gaze to the icy tunnel, her lush golden curls hanging over the rail. Amandal, however, kept his eyes on Felinia, a more beautiful sight than the majestic scenery they were passing through. Ahead of them, the tunnel broadened, and the ice that formed the ceiling thinned, allowing more sunlight to beam into the tunnel. Then the ceiling disappeared, and they sailed into an open channel. Walls of ice soared high, creating an icy canyon almost twice the width of the tunnel behind them. Some of the crowd around them dissipated, and Felinia pushed herself away from the rail. She turned to Amandal and ran a gloved hand across his chin.
"Thanks for holding me when I didn't need it," she said with a teasing grin.
"Of course," Amandal said. "Anything for a squad mate." Felinia shook her head and followed the others down the steps to the main deck. Amandal leaned back, one hand gripping a nearby line. He watched Felinia cross the main deck and disappear into the ship's covered aft section. "Now that's progress," he told himself, leaning his back against the rail. He lazily stared at the icy walls while thinking of his next move to woo Felinia. His reverie was broken when the water beside the starboard rail darkened. "What is that?" he thought, peering into the channel's watery depths. He expected the Jibaran to sail past it, but the shadowy spot moved with the ship. The object was about half the length of the Jibaran, and dozens of dark lines rippled behind it. "Ildan!" Amandal called, his eyes still focused on the dark spot. "Ildan, come here!" The shadow shrank, almost disappearing before Ildan reached the rail. "What?" the illusionist asked. Amandal pointed to the now tiny shadow.
"Something is moving below the ship," he whispered.
Ildan shrugged. "Probably some kind of curious fish. I doubt it's anything to worry about. Look, it's gone." Amandal searched the waters, but indeed the dark spot had vanished. He swiftly crossed the forecastle, but there were no shadows beyond the portside rail. A hand gripped his shoulder, and Ildan whispered into his ear,
"Are you sure you're doing all right? I mean, what with last night and those nightmares?"
"I'm not going crazy," Amandal retorted tersely. "I saw something, Ildan, and it was no fish." He lowered his voice.
"The thing was half the length of this ship."
Maybe it was a whale. Whatever it was, it's gone now.
I don't think it was a whale, Amandal muttered, turning back to the water. There were shadowy lines moving behind it, like tails or tentacles.
What are you implying, Amandal?
Amandal didn't answer. Whatever was following them had vanished. But was it truly gone?
His mind began to race with possibilities of what could be swimming beneath them. He had frequented many a tavern and heard sailors telling far-fetched tales of treacherous monsters from the deep, enormous creatures that could destroy a ship and consume its crew. But those were just tales, myths, and fables. Weren't they?
I doubt it's a sea monster, Ilden whispered. Those things aren't real.
But that's what people think of Gengolans, Amandal thought, searching the waters once again. If the Abudine wasteland was home to mythical creatures like the Chrysalac, could there be other monsters of myth lying in wait for unsuspecting travelers?